in association with and the Valley Shook.com. It's the Go Show, your original LSU podcast, midweek edition, breaking down Syracuse. Oh, shit, I lost my train of thought. 34-24 victory for LSU, 11 a.m. in the morning. Then we will be talking about Eastern Michigan later on in a little bit, in about 20 minutes. We will welcome in Alex Alvarado from HustleBelt.com. That's an SB Nation site that specializes in covering the MAC conference, and Alex specifically covers Eastern Michigan. So he will be joining us later. He will be our Eastern Michigan guest to help us cover everything, all things Eastern Michigan in the MAC. Talk about that game for LSU coming up on Saturday. But first off, as always, ways to get in touch with the show. Hit us up on Twitter. You can follow the site at Valley Shook, www.anavalleyshook.com, part of SB Nation. You can tweet out the show at Valley Shook. You can download the show, the Go Show, to your smartphone device, Patrick. I'm trying to spit this out.
You can do it. I'm here to back you up.
Yeah, the iTunes. I'm going to get it. Eventually, I'm going to get it. I am Kerry Munch, your host. You can tweet at me. I'm at Go Show Kerry. You can like the show on Facebook. That's the Go Show. Just search that. And Patrick Morris is here with me as always. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, what's up?
He tweets too. Well, he doesn't tweet. He's a lurker. Oh,
well, actually, I do tweet. I tweet about once every 6 months. But if you really want to hit me up there, go at Cat Godfather, K-A-T-T Godfather.
That is where it's at. So, LSU, Syracuse, a little flat, Pat. A little flat. But 14 penalties. 14 penalties for about a mile and a half. And Leonard Fournette at 397 yards, 140 of it called back on penalties. So he officially 26 carries, 244 yards, two touchdowns. Leonard Fournette watch is officially on. He has now set three straight career highs in rushing yards for himself. And now six yards shy of tying Ali Broussard's single-game season record. He's the first LSU back to go over 200 yards in consecutive games, which is surprising. I figured we would have had somebody do that. We would have, but he went and broke his leg and then subsequently started breaking into windows after that. And that was Patrick, is this not the best three-game stretch you've seen since Cecil Collins in 96?
Yeah, you know what? I'd have to say. 97, our offensive line
97. Yeah. 97. Yeah, I'm talking about for a running back.
Without a doubt, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I thought I like Cecil Collins, and I'm going back now 18 years, 97. Everybody remembers Kevin Faulk missed, I think, most of that season with an injury. So it was Rondale Mealing and Cecil Collins, and it became the Cecil Collins show. And he went on a three-game stretch that was, I think it was like 150, then like 200, and like another like 180 or 190 or something like that. It was like 500 yards or something through three games, and that was unbelievable. And he got hurt, and then subsequently, you know, during the offseason between 97 and 98, he got in trouble and eventually got kicked off the team. So he was basically our running back that never was, like Marcus Dupree. For Oklahoma back in the day, he was kind of like that for LSU, the best that never was. But this is the best three-game stretch by any LSU running back that I've seen since then. And this is, I mean, it's definitely better. I mean, 600, I added up. Yes, I think it's 620,
it was, yeah.
620 something yards, eight touchdowns through three games. I think he's averaging something like 8-9 yards a carry. It's ridiculous. But, you know, we go as far as he'll take us right now. And yes, we came out flat, Pat. And part of me thought in the back of my mind that was kind of be kind of going to be expected. But there were some things, I don't know, there were some things I didn't like about the game. There were some things that I was pleased about. There's still something, I don't think there's nothing too concerning at this point, with the exception of maybe Brandon Harris needs to take a little bit off of his passes. He's hanging out receivers out to dry too much. He's firing bullets in there. Still, he had DRs open a couple of times. He just threw the ball way too hard. Way too hard. So
he did. He needs to learn how to and that comes with experience, learning how to throw a catchable ball. I mean, every ball that he's throwing, don't get me wrong, is catchable. But learning how to throw that soft pass, you know how they talk about nose up on a football when it's coming in on a long pass, mm-hmm. things like that. I'm a liken this to like Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler's got an arm from hell, but he has no touch. He just tried to fire it in there. Of course, Jay Cutler sucks, but we're not going to even go there. So, getting back to your running back thing, though, without a doubt, this is the most solid running back play that, God, overall, not just Fournette, but just overall, our running backs are just, they know what they're going to do. We almost have that end of the year Arkansas mentality last year. Look, hey guys, this is what we're going to do. By the way, stop us. There is no question about that. Oh, and by the way, we have a quarterback that's actually starting to make good decisions. Knock on wood, hasn't turned the ball over.
That's the biggest key so far.
Three games, not turned the ball over once.
And that makes up for the penalties we had. Now, we didn't have, I think we only had like three or four against Auburn last week, but we had definitely at least 12, I think, against Mississippi State. We had 14 yesterday on Saturday. And,
That 14, those penalties cost us, they cost us at least minimum 14 points because you took two off the board.
It cost us 14 points. It was basically a 21-point spring. You took one touchdown off the board for sure. You took another good drive away with a penalty, and you gave them – they were in the red zone. I think the touchdown had made it 24-17. They were in the red zone and didn't gain a freaking yard yet. We had two back-to-back 15-yard penalties that put them inside the 20. You look at the defense. I mean, we only gave up 280 yards. I mean, that's not
no. People want to say that they gave up 24 points, but you're right. You look at the 24 points. I give 10 of those points. You know, take 10 away and give them to the offense because the offense actually gave up those 10 points.
Okay, I'm with you there because of the penalties and drives getting installed. And hey, I withdraw my apology to Jamie King. He's got to get better, Pat.
Oh, no, he's got to get better. Yeah. He freaking shanked it. Are we going to have this every other game?
No.
I said that's our weak spot. I've been saying it for a couple of weeks now. Our weak spot is special teams.
Special teams. Coverage is weak. Coverage is weak on kickoff and punt returns. And punting.
You know,
and
they're going to say Tre'Davious White returned one. But you know what? That's not it. It's the rest of the deal. You've got to cover kicks, and we're not covering kicks.
Right. Now, I'm talking about coverage, and I'm talking about punting. Field goal kicking, we're solid. He's 3-for-3. He hasn't missed an extra point yet. Punt returns. We know Trey White can break one at any point. The penalties, special teams coverage, that needs to clear up because while we're on a positive side of the turnover margin right now because we haven't turned the ball over yet. We've only four. I think we forced four maybe this year, five. I think two last week and one yesterday. So actually only three because I don't think we turned over State at all. So
nope.
We were in a turnover margin, but like you said, the penalties and look, yeah, it was a walk-on quarterback, and he made a few plays. But dude, that dude, I give that guy credit. That guy played.
Way above his level.
He played a very fearless game. That guy kept battling, and kudos to that guy. And all you can really hope for as an LSU fan, they come out later on in the season, and they give games, you know, they sneak up on somebody and beat them, like, say, a Clemson or a Florida State, but they just play solid, you know, the rest of the season. That's, like, the best thing that you can actually – you can hope for.
But you know what? Syracuse, even though they were 3-0, that was a I-have-nothing-to-lose game for them. I mean, really. Yeah. Nobody in the country expected them to win. They could pull out all the stops. They could go forward and fourth down. They could fake a freaking punt. They could do all those different things that they did to make, you know, to make it as close a game as possible. They play with a little emotion. They got an East Coast. They own national television. They got everything going for them. We're the team that had everything to lose in that game. You know?
We had the big talk all week. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big talk all week. People, you know, anointing us all of a sudden as, you know, as a top four playoff team already. And, you know, Fournette, I mean, they talked about Fournette all week, but he lived up to the hype. The rest of the team was just – I mean, it just penalties. I mean, holding penalties. A couple of them were ticky tacky. I mean, the 87 yarder got called back. I mean, granted, it's the receiver's fault. He should have made sure he was with the official on that, made sure he was on that line. But it's that crew, dude. That Tom Ritter.
Oh man, that is horrible. The most horrible crew in the SEC.
I don't want to make this a diatribe about bitching about referees. That's not what this is about. Because a lot of it was LSU's fault.
But they're flag happy. That crew is known to be flag happy.
Yeah. So, anyway. You know, regardless, you know, you take away the penalties, you're probably looking at maybe, what, like a 44-45-17 win? you know?
Yeah. Well, let's take a positive out of this. When we had to have a couple of big plays and big throws, Harris made the throws. He actually,
the touchdown pass was beautiful. The touchdown
that was
pass
beautiful.
Was beautiful.
And Malachi actually played a good game. I'll give him credit. He actually, I thought, played a decent game.
He did. Harris had a couple deep balls. Yeah, dropped a pass or two. He did. So, you know, there's definitely some things. And they can work on these things again against Eastern Michigan on Saturday. So, nothing to get too overly worried about. Let's just, you know, you're going to Eastern Michigan. And, you know, the goal is to just stay healthy. I don't run. I said this against Syracuse, but we ended up having to run him 26 times. But you run Fournette a quarter and a half, give him about 10, 12 carries, and sit him down. So
hopefully we can do that this game.
Yeah, hopefully this is a 21-0 we going Gaddy's game. You know, so
yeah,
that's what we're hoping for. But you know, all in all, 34-24. It's not what LSU fans wanted. You know, it's not what I wanted to see. Of course, you want to see dominance, you know, especially in a situation like that. But we've seen LSU teams do this before, and we've seen them play better as the year goes on. This is not, I don't think, an indication of how this team's going to look the rest of the season. I mean, we had Mississippi State and Auburn played, and State won that game in Auburn. So I think State's a decent team. You know, Auburn, with their backs against the wall, starting a new quarterback, State came in and went in and beat them. So we'll find out a lot about Alabama when they go to Georgia on Saturdays. So, you know, and LSU just needs to keep playing, stay focused. They got Eastern Michigan, then they're at South Carolina, then back-to-back home games before the bye week, and then it's the November gauntlet. So
I think they just need to keep on working on expanding their playbook a little bit, more and more every game, you know, opening up that passing game. Even though we thought he was going to throw the ball a few more times, but you know what? It wasn't in that situation where we could do that this game. Mm-hmm. While he did have good yardage on the passes he did throw, he just, you know, it just wasn't called for in the game, so we played to it. So
yeah, and we were in, and go back, and I didn't go back and watch it yet today. It's been because of a quick turnaround. We're recording the show on now tonight. But the formations were very vanilla compared to what we did against Auburn and Mississippi State. We ran a lot of pistol. We ran him out of a lot of different, you know, read option type plays. He didn't do a whole lot. I think he might have only carried the ball maybe twice on design runs. I'm talking about Harris now. Carried the ball maybe twice on design runs. So, and that defense got after it, man. Them guys were bringing everybody.
Well, they brought the house. And we had to make
a
throw.
Shook him up a little bit. He shook him up a little bit early on, I think it did. And that's good. It's good that he saw that, because that's what he's going to see. Now, I don't think Ole Miss and Bama's going to be bringing the house every time like Syracuse was. But
no,
there's going to be some down and distance situations where they're going to be bringing people. So it was good to kind of have him look to see how he handled that. And he did all right. I mean, he made a couple good decisions, throwing the ball away. So he made that great pass to Dupree. A couple downfield passes, one to Doral, one to Dupree, that were good. So, you know, 50% of the day, he was 8 of 16, and, you know, good enough. But he had his, you know, ironically, he had his longest passing yardage day. It was his worst completion percentage and his lowest completions of the year, but he had his most yardage. So,
I don't blame his completion percentage on him in that game at all. That's two drop passes, and, you know, like you said, they just weren't – it didn't look like they were – well, yeah, they probably could have called some different plays. They weren't calling the plays according to Syracuse bringing the house. All you had to do was slide that back out the backfield, something like that, a couple of dump offs right over the middle, and they probably could have ran forever, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's something they need to learn how to do. I'm sure they had that somewhere. So.
You know, and actually, we had a little bit of an off day with the secondary, just to mention that. While we didn't, you know, it wasn't horrible, it wasn't up to what we saw the first couple of games where they were just completely shutting people down. I thought Jefferson had a couple of moments in there where he was, you know, maybe didn't have a good coverage.
He got beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got beat one time on that deep play,
which is actually good. You know what? Hey, you got to bring your game every week. You can't just lay off because you're now played two SEC games and you think your competition's stepping down. Now you know it doesn't matter who it is; they're out to get us because you're on top of the heap now.
I agree, man.
It's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing.
You speak truth.
Hopefully we go. Hopefully we can have more of a Gaddy's game this week.
Yeah, well, hopefully so. All right. That being said, let's Let's bring him on in. We're going to welcome Alex Alvarado. Let me make sure I got that name right. Yes, Alex Alvarado. He's from HustleBelt.com, SB Nation site, covering the MAC. He is speaking. He specifically covers Eastern Michigan. Alex, are you with us?
Yep, I'm here.
How's it going, man?
Aside from college football, everything is pretty good for me. My Eagles are disappointing per usual, but, you know, second year with a new head coach, so whatever.
I got you. Well, Eastern Michigan traveling down to Baton Rouge on Saturday. I think the game's at 6 o'clock. I don't remember what ESPN network it's on. I just know it's at 6.
I think it's on ESPNU.
Is it on the U? Okay.
Yeah.
So Eastern Michigan comes in 1-3, just lost to Army on Saturday, lost to Old Dominion to start the season, beat Wyoming, lost to Ball State last week. So, you know, definitely a team. I don't know what the expectations were. You can kind of fill us in on some things. I don't know what the expectations were coming into the season, but definitely, like, I'm assuming not the start y'all were hoping for.
No, yeah, not at all. You know, nobody was really picking Eastern to, you know, go far at all this year. Like, you know, if they end up finishing 8-4 or 4-8, then, you know, they're, you know, that's kind of like what their expectations are, given, you know, it's a new head coach in the second year, not really the best talent around yet, young quarterbacks, there's not a whole bunch of playmakers. So but it's, you know, the way they've lost their three games, you know, they blew a lead against Old Dominion, and Ray Lowry, he was a CUSA freshman of the year. He was held to 60 rushing yards in the first half and then blew up for 4 touchdowns and like 260 overall for the game. And then against Ball State, we were up 17-0, ended up losing 28-17. And then last week, Army ran the ball 71 times for like, they ran 80 total plays. Had a time of possession of 41 minutes, and they had like 556 rushing yards or something like that. It's okay to laugh. It's pretty pathetic.
No, I'm not laughing. I'm thinking, Patrick, I don't know if you think the same thing. You think Les Miles is watching that game film? 71.
Yeah.
We might not throw the ball at all. We might run 70 plays and all of them rushing plays on Saturday. That's kind of what I'm laughing at, really. I'm thinking about, because we're all always complaining about the conservative play call in hand Baton Rouge, but, you know, if the ball the whole game. Man.
Yeah, if the mismatch is there, play against it. Yeah, like Eastern was not a good running defense anyways, and Army only knows how to run the ball way too many times, so it's the perfect combination for, you know, that.
Yeah, you can almost see these defensive linemen saying, okay, crap, we just went against Army, which we got to, you know, key on 5 different people on a pitch. Now we got to worry about a big 320-pounder coming at us that's an All-American. Oh, crap, you know. Plus, the fullback.
But at least you only got a key. Yeah, at least you only got a key on one running back, though. The problem is tackling him. So.
Yeah, hopefully he only plays like one quarter, because I think Fournette's like absolutely fantastic, but doesn't everybody at this point. But, you know, it sucked for him to, you know, you guys are going to win this game regardless. It sucked for him to be injured because, you know, it's just an unfortunate circumstance, I guess. So, you know, hopefully,
Yeah, trust me, when it was a minute to go in a game Saturday, and he was running the ball, I was like, why? We're running the clock out. Why are we doing this? You know, we're just trying to get him a record at this point. This is pointless. We don't need to worry about that, you know?
Right,
didn't agree with it. But that might have been part of him being a little bit PO'd and wanting a piece of somebody, you know? But at the same time, coach has got to pull that he back and say, no.
Take out a couple offensive linemen for holding penalty.
True.
He'll take out a couple offensive linemen in practice accidentally. He'll run into the back of offensive linemen on practice accidentally. Hit Colin Jeet a couple times and, you know, thank you for holding, you know?
Yeah, you know. But so other than obviously our strength is your weakness, which probably, I don't know. Well, look at the bright side. This is a pay game, right?
Yeah. I don't know how much we're getting out of it, but hopefully it's, you know, I know like NIU and Western, they went to Ohio State and they got like $3.1 million out of it. So Hopefully, we get some good
change. That's hefty. Well, let's talk a little bit about Eastern Michigan. Now, obviously, they've thrown up some points here in a few games. Let's talk about some of their offense. What do they run? What's the offensive scheme? Let's talk about some of the playmakers, and I'll let you fill Pat and I in on that.
They came in saying like it's going to be like a multiple formation where they, you know, spread it out. They run an ace back. You know, they run the wildcat here and there. They run the pistol. But ever since our starting quarterback Reggie Bell was a dual threat dude, he got knocked out with a jaw injury against Old Dominion. So Brogan Roback, I forget which site said it, but someone had him as a 4-star prospect coming in. Which how we got a 4-star prospect was crazy, but he had a sister on the volleyball team, so that kind of helped out.
Oh, she looked good. There you go.
Oh, honestly, I don't want to say, but yeah, she was pretty. So with him at quarterback, you know, we see less of the pistol, we see less of the ace back. It's a lot of 4 or 5 wide. And he's got a really good arm. He's a confident kid. The one knock that I got to give him is just that he plays on his toes a lot as a quarterback. And like, he's just like way too jumpy, doesn't really get his feet set. And then he just, you know, overshoots or misfires or something like that. But, he loves showing off the arm. He'll throw the deep ball a lot. He'll take his chances. Hopefully he, you know, connects on some long passes and, you know, cause it just has to pay it off. Eventually, where you keep taking these deep shots downfield, they got to connect on a couple of them. But probably our best offensive threat is our senior running back, Darius Jackson. He had not a lot of yards last year at all, but he's probably the best running back in the MAC right now with Kareem Hunt hurt and Darren Green. He's still doing a good year at Ball State. But yeah, he's a really strong guy. He loves pounding up the middle. He doesn't, you know, dance too much to get, you know, east and west. He just worries about, you know, putting his head down and going upfield and running somebody over. Yeah, that's probably our best bet at really just moving the ball.
Yeah, I'm checking his stats out right now. Through 4 games, 400 yards, 7 yards a carry, 7 touchdowns. I mean, that's definitely something you can hang your hat on with him. And Y'all must go up tempo a lot because y'all run a lot of plays. It looks like, let's see, I'm counting right. Let's see, about 270 through four games. That's about average, 60 something a clip, about 60 something a game.
Yeah, Creighton's. Ever since his last job, he likes doing the whole up tempo thing, and that's kind of why our time of possession is so bad. Like, I think I looked right before, we're like 118th in the nation there. But yeah, we do run a lot of up tempo. That's one thing that I would like to see kind of change, actually, just because, you know, our defense is going to get tired one of these days. You know, they might not be right now because it's September, but, you know, if we keep, you know, getting 3 and outs in an up tempo offense, it's not going to do well for your defense down the road either.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. We see a lot of good defensive coordinators struggle because of the offense that run. They run it up tempo, and you know, I think it's just like, and that, my whole adage about you know John Chay was a good defensive coordinator. Don't get me wrong, I just don't think he's the right fit at A&M. And I think
No. You actually have to find your defensive coordinator to fit, and that's the job of the head coach. Okay, what am I going to do on offense? Is my defense philosophy going to mesh the same way? Yeah, you can have the greatest defensive coordinator in the world, but if their philosophy doesn't mesh with the way that the tempo of the game goes, or, you know, do I like to slow it down and grind it and this and that? You know, if that doesn't mesh, then, you know, it's not going to work.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So, and that's a perfect segue, Patrick. Let's switch gears to defense. So what y'all going to do, Alex, you're going to try to sneak it in there, just put 12 in the box. And
seriously. Yeah. We need to add 12 guy and have everybody have like a steel chair or something like that. But
old wrestling deal. There we go.
Yeah. Thank you. But, we run a 3-4 defense, you know, which, you know, it's, it's still fairly new because, you know, dating back to when Ron English was around, we had a 4-3. So there's still some guys that were recruited over in our upperclassmen now that, you know, fit Ron's scheme and are just trying to, you know, still mesh in well with a 3-4. But I think they're doing, you know, aside from, you know, the obvious run defense, they're still doing okay. We're without our best defensive player in Pat O'Connor. He was a defensive end, legitimate NFL prospect, led the MAC in sacks last year, but yeah, he just had too many injuries over the spring, and now he's out for the season, so he'll probably get medically redshirted, so he'll play next year. And then another linebacker, he's not playing this year, so that kind of hurt us a lot with Hunter Matt, but we do have like a pretty okay for, you know, I hate saying like good and bad and like talking to an SEC blog about it because like what's good for us is just nothing for you guys, you know, just like that's where the level of talent is. But great eBay is a good linebacker. You'll see his name whenever you look at the roster. It's number 10 and his last name is IBE, but it's eBay.
Okay.
But he's a pretty good middle linebacker. We just don't really have playmakers on the corners or at the safety that, you know, I think can, you know, create enough turnovers to make things more competitive.
How about size on your defense? You D-line, even your O-line. What are we looking at size-wise with them coming in? You know, weight. Obviously, you're working on speed a lot if you're more up tempo. But but what are we looking at there?
Size wise, on the offensive line, we're okay. Cole Gardner, he switched over from tight end to play left tackle, and he's bulked up a lot. I'm gonna have to check what all their weight is right now. Let's see. The lightest guy, he's actually like moved up to be a true freshman slot receiver, is Eddie Daughtry. He's 5'7", 157. But he's like our leading receiver right now, like in terms of yardage. So it'll be fun to see if he does something. And the line, we have Darian Terrell. I think he plays the left guard, if I remember. 323. We've got a true freshman defensive tackle, Kwani Figueroa. True freshman, 6'2", 282. He plays a lot. He's been pretty impressive, especially on the pass rush. Another guy that's new on the defensive line that I like is Luke McLean. He's a transfer from Pitt. He's like 6'5", 250 or something like that. So, yeah, a bunch of the offensive linemen are, you know, 280, near 300.
So they're in that old Jason Taylor mode on defense, kind of that tall, lanky, you know, kind of muscular deal, but not necessarily that big, huge meat guy in the middle that just clogs up the whole middle.
Yeah, so, no, they try to use like a little bit more finesse, especially like, you know, in the 3-4.
Yeah, which makes sense in the 3-4 because you're running the outside linebackers to try and come up to play that end at some point. So
yeah.
So, yeah, I can see that. So the key for you, you know, obviously, Kerry and I are in. The key is going to be, we're going to do that toss right back. We'll come right over that tackle and that guard's behind and try and run it up the middle and have that fullback blow up the linebacker. So it's a matter of, you know, what side are they going to crowd and, you know, can they stop it, in other words.
Hold on one second. Let me get my dog to shut up for you guys.
I mean, he didn't like that comment. I don't know.
Maybe, I guess not.
Wow. I didn't mean it.
I was a little worried about that one. I didn't sound like a dog at first. Yeah, and I was worried because my daughter was talking in my ear. But, no, it's all good. That kind of stuff happens all the time, Alex. I don't even sweat that kind of stuff. We're actually running pretty good here.
Yeah, and actually, if you see some of the live shows that we've had in the past, this is much better.
Yeah, without question. So,
all right, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, that's no problem. We were just, me and Patrick were just kind of filling in time by ourselves and talking about, hey, if you've ever listened to any of our live shows, you'd realize that's no big deal at all. So that's why we don't go live. That's why we don't go live much anymore.
We used to have a podcast for Hustle Belt a couple years ago, and then it was like just me and Brian Vance did it a lot. But like I lived in Ypsilanti, and like I was on one of the main roads, and like we would always like schedule at night to record, and we would always hear police and fire sirens just going down the main road. Like every episode was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, just kind of par for the course. Yeah,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. Yeah, but this
what's that noise? Oh, that again.
Yeah, just kind of make it part of your show. That's
so. You know. So let me ask you: Has Eastern, when's the last time, or have they ever visited Tiger Stadium?
No, this is the first meeting between the two schools.
Okay. I did a lot of research and history before we did the show tonight. So as you can tell.
Good for you.
Right, yeah.
Good for you. I go off of memory most of the time. And I don't ever remember playing them. So, looking forward to it. I'd like to see a few people make the trip, considering the fact it's the first trip to Baton Rouge. We always like to. We welcome all fans to the tailgate. So, if you know anybody coming up, tell them to.
Coming down.
Tell them to walk around. If they see a tent with an Anna Valley Shook banner, that's us. So,
amongst the
we appreciate
thousands
you,
of tailgates. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like finding a needle in a haystack, but it just so happened to be walking by and they see that banner. We hang it right in the front of the tent, so.
Okay, cool, yeah. I think I know, like, one guy that's going that I used to work with, so, yeah, I'll let him know.
Very good, but, yeah, definitely looking forward to it. A chance for LSU to get better, a chance for Eastern Michigan to come in and, play against a quote-unquote power five team. And
to see what it's like to play in one of best places in the country.
Nice little payout for the school and the conference, and enjoy some good food and some good fun. And LSU fans shouldn't be too harsh to the Eastern Michigan fans. We really have nothing to really quarrel at y'all about, except unless we're just kind of getting in tune and getting revved up for the conference schedule that's fixing to hit. So, other than that, just looking forward to a good game, just having a good time. That's what 95.9% of the tailgate football game is about for me.
Yeah, definitely.
I just hope that Eastern just walks away with some pride in themselves, because the Army game was just terrible. Like, that's something to be disgusted about, giving away a 17-point lead to lose to Ball State. That's pretty terrible. And they've had three home games and they've all been losses, and they shouldn't have lost. The way that, especially the Ball State and Old Dominion game played out, they shouldn't have lost those games. So hopefully no one's going to pick Eastern to win this game. No one's going to pick Fournette to have one carry that's under 10 yards. But hopefully they just, say, hey, we went in, we played well, we played with our game plan. Here's some good points here, a few things that we need to work on going to the MAC play. But we've ripped the Band-Aid off and we can move forward knowing that, hey, and somehow we got better. Just somehow we got better. Like, give me something to be confident of heading into MAC play.
Well, you know what else it does? When you come in to play play an LSU type of team, supposedly a top echelon team, it also gives the guys on the other team that, okay, this is what it's like to play at the next level. This is the extra things that these guys do. They're following the play all the way through this whistle. They're not giving it up. Their receivers are downfield, blocking 30 yards downfield. These are the things that a top echelon team does no matter what. And that's hopefully from your end, if I'm looking at it, that's what I would want my team to take away. Is what are they doing that gets them to that next level? Other than the fact that, obviously the recruiting base and the quote unquote talent level is just, probably double right now what your recruiting base is, but
right, yeah.
Same time, those are the things I'd be looking for as a team.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Very good, Patrick. Anything else?
No, I think that's about says it all. I mean, there's not too much. Like I said, we knew these few weeks were going to be a little bit stagnant in our schedule, so to speak. So hopefully, we see very much a cleanup and a penalty action. That's the one thing I'm hoping for this game.
Yeah, it needs to be. Yeah, we can't be throwing out 11, 12 penalties again. We just need to play, good, crisp football. Not penalty free. I mean, you're gonna have a couple, but mistake free. I like to see another no turnover game, and you want to avoid the injuries on both sides. You want to avoid the injuries, and
both of these
teams have conference slates that that need to be worked on. So need to be gotten to. So and need to be played. So I want to see everybody stay healthy and just have a good game. And Alex, we really appreciate you coming in and taking the time with us and filling us in on Eastern Michigan, because me and Patrick could not carry this alone. It was a struggle enough talking about Syracuse last week. And it's also good to when we get a chance to talk to other SB Nation people from other conferences too. It's always pretty cool. And again, he is Alex Alvarado. He is at hustlebelt.com or hustlebelt.com SB Nation site. It covers all the MAC, correct?
Yeah, we cover the whole damn thing.
Okay, and can you tweet at the site and at you?
Yeah, at Hustlebelt, or if you want to tweet at me directly, it's at @AR Alvarado13.
Very good, Alex.
I've got a Gandhi with a Eastern Michigan Fisher hat on, because okay. Why the hell not? I'm sure he was an Eastern fan.
Very good. We're looking forward to it. Alex, thank you for joining us, and best of luck to y'all on Saturday.
Hey, one last question, though, Kerry. I have a question. I'm jumping in here, because if I didn't, we have a chance to talk to an Eastern Michigan fan, I would kick myself for not asking. Alex,
I'd kick my cat too.
Yeah.
What's up, PK?
As our out-of-conference schedules get announced years in advance, I kind of try to keep an eye on the programs as they're coming through. So when Eastern Michigan got put on the schedule about a year or two ago, I started kind of following along with the program, what they've been doing with the new head coach that they hired at the time and all that. Eastern Michigan's home stadium has had a couple of significant changes over the last few years that are interesting. Namely, that concrete gray turf you guys have now. You're an actual Eastern Michigan fan. What did you think about that when they installed that?
I remember when the press releases or the rumors. Yeah, it was the rumors first. When the rumors first came out, when they were going to announce it, I heard it and I was like, "This is the stupidest thing I have ever heard in my entire life." And then, I wrote like some piece on it, and I got just like showed that I was like frustrated. And then, that day they officially announced it, and then they had a press conference about it. So I went, because I just lived a couple blocks away at the time, and went. And then Creighton was like, it's going to still, it's going to embody, the hard work and this, that, and the other that, that we want in our, football program. But, a lot of Eastern students can kind of sympathize with it. And what I mean by that is like, Eastern students, there's a lot of students that don't just live off their mom and dad's dime to go to school, like our friends in Ann Arbor might. and then like a lot of kids, I had two jobs going through school, and I know a whole bunch of full-time students that did the same thing. It just captures that, the whole work ethic thing, this, that, and the other. That's why they nicknamed it the factory. Which is just kind of funny with the whole topic of, paying players too, but that's whatever. And a lot of people say it's like, it's just PR smokescreen because the program sucks anyways. Well, yeah, we all know this, the program sucks, but you can't not try anything. You can't just say, yeah, we're going to suck, so we're not going to replace this turf that's 8 years old anyways.
Right.
But honestly, like, it probably looks really weird to watch on screen. I honestly just don't mind it that much.
Okay.
I'm checking out pictures of it right now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, because I've seen a few games on it, just a random MAC game that's on TV, and it's always been odd to see, and because you think your color's going out on your TV or something when you see it.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's a lot better than that blue turf and the red turf at
exactly where you're going.
Yeah,
a lot better than damn Smurf turf. Yeah, and I like the jab at Michigan too. That little subtle jab at Michigan too. That's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, yeah, very good. Yeah, there.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Cool.
All right, well, Alex, we'll bid you adieu, man. And again, good luck on Saturday, and thank you for joining us.
Hey guys, thank you so much for having me, and good luck to you guys Saturday and the rest of the way.
All right, appreciate it.
That was Alex Alvarado from HustleBelt.com, and he announced the Twitter handles for both the site and for himself. You're going to have to rewind that and listen to that because I can't repeat it because I don't remember him. So anyway, that was Podcat chipping in, giving us some extra time and actually filling me in on something I had no idea about. I got it pulled up right now looking at images on Google. And yeah, a little strange, but a little unique, a little different. You know, hard working, yeah, I get it. Kind of cool.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. And like last year was the first year for their current head coach, and there was it kind of went around the internet during their first home game because he had a couple of their senior players take some sledgehammers to some concrete brick walls, like you know that hollow concrete building bricks you build somewhere.
I remember when it came out last year. Uh-huh. That's right, and they couldn't punch through it or something.
No, they eventually got through it, but you get right. You know, they were just using actual sledgehammers to hammer walls.
That's right.
That kind of takes a little bit of time. So,
Patrick, this is why podcast occasion Billy D. Williams.
This is
In depth questioning and research like that because
we are not worthy sometimes.
No, not at all.
And let me give it again while I'm still talking. That's at Hustlebelt on Twitter. And our man Alex is at ARAlvarado13.
Patrick, you ready to do some picks?
Yeah, what the hell? You know, let's give everybody our X.
It's rock and roll to ATVS Go Show Pick'em Challenge. Every week, you know where to find it. It's always posted on AnnaValleyShook.com. Pick about 12 to 13 games every week against a spread. Compete for weekly and a season-ending prize. So even if you have not join yet, feel free to do so. It's all for fun and laughs and bragging rights and cheesy weekly and year-end prizes. So let's kick things off. We're not going to pick every game. As we always do, we're going to pick about four or five. We're going to focus mainly on SEC games. So I'm going to dive right in, Patrick, and I'm going to start with let's find a non-conference game that I actually feel like talking about. Notre Dame-Clemson. That's the one we'll pick today. Notre Dame is at Clemson. Clemson getting 1.5 points at home, Patrick.
God, everybody says this is Notre Dame's crap game, and you know what? I'm going to buck everybody in the freaking country's trend, and I'm just going to say Notre Dame's actually going to win this game. Yes, I said it. I picked Notre Dame.
I don't want to pick them, man. I just don't want to pick them. But, I watched Clemson play against Louisville and wasn't all that impressed. They're going to be up for this game. I don't know. I think they got enough at home, and I cannot do it. I cannot pull a trigger on the Irish. I'm not doing it. So I'm going Clemson.
Don't feel bad. I think I have to go wash my mouth out with soap right now.
You better. You can go to confession. Five Hail Marys and five off all those. But then again, you probably you wouldn't have to go to penance. You're going to do penance for picking a Catholic school. So
good. You're right. I think I'm good for church this week.
That is your penance. So, all right. Let's see. Let's go one more non-conference game. Let's go West Virginia-Oklahoma. This one's only interesting because West Virginia is undefeated at this point. Don't know who they've played. We know Oklahoma beat Tennessee. That's, like, I think their big win so far. So, anyway, Oklahoma 7.5-point favorite at home. I'm going Oklahoma just simply because it's Oklahoma, and they're gonna choke somewhere else. It won't be this week, but they're gonna choke somewhere else. We all know that. It's not gonna be here at home against West Virginia, Pat.
I agree with you. You know, it's funny that now West Virginia is actually in the talk because last weekend because we played the 11 o'clock game. I was sitting here talking to Yon-Yon, and
Chase.
I said, you know what? A team I have not heard a word about this year. West Virginia. So then it just so happened to pop on the TV a little later, and I said, let me watch a little bit of this. So therefore, after watching the little bit of that I did for about half a minute, I'm going to pick Oklahoma in this one.
Okay, good enough. I like where your head's at. All right. All right, now, conference action. We go to the swamp, Patrick. Missouri. Ole Miss. Traveling to the swamp, Florida. Florida at home getting 7.5 against the undefeated third-ranked Ole Miss Rebels.
Woo! Florida's riding high. They think their program's back. Oh. You know what? I do not think Florida's going to win this game, but I do think at home they will cover this game. There's no way that Florida turns the ball over five times. Their defense is pretty decent. They're going to make it a lower scoring game. I'm going to take Florida in this one to cover the points, not necessarily win, but cover.
Yeah, I'm going with Florida to cover as well. Unless Ole Miss, I think Ole Miss wins. Unless they get a fluky late touchdown that busts the gamblers right in the eyeball. This is like a 17-13 type game. I really do. I mean, both of these are really good. Ole Miss's offense has been flying. I scored a lot of only 27 points against Vanderbilt last week, and so I think at Florida, emotions are high. They read something good to happen to them. They came back, beat Tennessee. Let's hold the phones on how good we think Tennessee is. I don't think they're the team that many people expect.
I do hope Florida wins this game. I'd love to see Florida come into us highly ranked. Beat them at home. I also just want to see Ole Miss lose. Double whammy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always good.
Question. Always want to see Ole Miss lose. Quick side note. I've been trying to figure out how to answer this question. A few people have asked me. I've had this discussion about a lot of people in today's time hate Alabama with a passion, a lot of LSU fans. I hate Twain, I hate Ole Miss. And the best analogy I can give to somebody who said, well, Alabama's a bigger rival now, the best analogy I can give is even when Ole Miss has crappy teams, Tulane always has crappy teams, they're the Yankees to me. When I wake up on Sunday morning, I want to see L's in that loss. If Alabama was just Alabama and whoever Mike Shula was still coaching them, I wouldn't care if they won or lost the next day. You know, you pick it down, Pat?
I got what you're feeling.
Yeah, Ole Miss and Tulane are the Yankees to me. I don't want to see wins in the one loss column ever. I don't want to see the W check mark ever. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. I've been thinking about that a lot this week as I drive, in my lonely loner state, delivering pizza and ice cream to stock the shelves of Walmarts and Rouses and things of that sort. Anyway,
you're right. I can't stand to see Ole Miss win either because it's Ole Miss. They got that freaking air of arrogance about them, crap like that. They can't win. Don't let them. Come on, Florida.
Here you go. Hey, Patrick, this next game in July, marquee game of the season in the Southeastern Conference. Saturday, Arkansas travels to Tennessee.
Woo!
And nobody really gives a shit.
A lot of people are giving a shit because they're so both so bad, and they're saying which one's the worst of the worst.
Right. So anyway, Arkansas getting a half in Rocky Top. I'm picking Arkansas because we all Tennessee, whatever lead they have, they're going to blow it. So this is a no-brainer. Yes. This is a no-brainer.
This is the battle of the most overrated teams in America this year. I'll take Arkansas in this one, too. I just think they're going to just get back to Arkansas football and just try and run.
I agree with you. So anyway, let's go next one. Mississippi State is a good one. Mississippi State only loss of the season to your LSU Fighting Tigers. Going on to, what you call that, home of the 12th man. Do they have a name for that stadium? Kyle Field. Yeah, Kyle Field. Going to A&M. Mississippi State getting 7.5, Pat.
Ooh, man, 7.5. This is going to be A&M's first test against a real defense, so to speak. I mean, Arkansas actually shut them down a little bit. Crap. You know what? I'm going with Dak. I think Dak's got a little bit of moxie about him. He's shredded Chavis' defense, in the past. So I'm gonna take Dak in this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I almost like Mississippi State for the outright win.
Which would be great, but
yeah, probably the two best quarterbacks in the conference right now. Chad Kelly might have something to say about that, but I think right now Dak and Kyle Allen probably the two best quarterbacks playing. With Chad Kelly coming in third, more than likely. But I like Mississippi State for the cover and a straight up win because I like Dak plays with a chip on his shoulder. Manny Diaz is back, kind of rejuvenated, from his time at Texas. He's got the defense playing really well. And, it's going to be up-tempo versus up-tempo and kind of see what happens. Like you said, Dak and that offense figured out Chavis last year. Let's see what happens. But I like State. I have a feeling about that game. So don't know what it is, but might be gas, but who knows. All right. Alabama, Georgia, the marquee game of the weekend. Alabama traveling between the hedges, taking on the Georgia Bulldogs, Patrick. Getting 2.5 is the Crimson Tide in Sanford Stadium. What you got, Pat?
This was, I've been thinking about this one all week, and I've been thinking about the scenarios. Do I want Alabama to win? Do I want Alabama to lose? Is it better if Georgia stays up top? Not, you know, and I've been looking at the games down the road. In the long run, I want Alabama to lose, you know, just based on future schedules and stuff. So I am going with the dogs at home. Go Uga.
See, I've seen Georgia in this spot before. Now, there was a different Alabama team they played back in 2008. Last time they this as a matter of fact, this is the last time Alabama was an underdog in any game. Was this game in 2008 in Athens? Dude, this everything is pointing to Georgia just routing Bama. Bama has no quarterback issues. They have no playmakers other than Derrick Henry. Don't have a whole lot of playmakers on offense. The front seven. I want to see Nick Chubb against that front seven because that'll almost give us the putting line. Or what we think.
It'll tell them exactly what our game plan is going
to
be.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I'm interested to see. I might switch this pick before Saturday, but for now, I'm saying Alabama, but I think I'm dead wrong. I do think dead wrong.
You could pick. This is definitely a pick 'em game because freaking Alabama's backs against.
Right. How much desperation?
Rebuilding for next year.
How much desperation they're going to play with? That's what I want to see. And that's what. Makes me think.
Then
you know,
again, does this quarterback, you know, is he going to make that mistake? You know, that's kind of what I'm banking on.
Yeah, and he's been red hot. Mistake. He's been red hot the last 2 weeks. He has two incompletions the last 2 weeks against South Carolina and Southern, so be it. But two incompletions the last 2 weeks. So, but something just tells me Georgia always seems to crumble in these type of games. They come out with a wave of emotion, and by the second half, they're so spent, you know.
Emotionally spent, you can't get your body back to the
exactly. Normal. Yeah, and I think especially if that front seven starts holding Nick Chubb in check, and they're not making plays in the passing game, I think Alabama can go in here and steal another win and break the hearts of many Georgia fans.
I hope it's a slobber knocker game though. I really do.
Without question. And what shouldn't be a slobber knocker game is LSU against Eastern Michigan, 6 p.m. ESPN, the ESPN network. And I'm on a roll 3 weeks. I have not picked an LSU game right yet. So I'm sticking with that trend and I'm picking Eastern Michigan to cover.
What's the spread again?
45.5.
Whoo, shit.
I have not gotten one. I have not picked right against the spread yet. I picked them to cover. Well, obviously the first game doesn't count. Picked them to cover against Mississippi State. We know how that turned out. Picked Auburn to cover. We know how that turned out. And last week, of course, I picked them the roll, and that didn't
happen. You know what? Screw it. I'm picking LSU to roll in this game. I'm having them cover.
Okay. Worst defense in the worst rush defense in the country, Patrick. They're giving up 373 yards running the football, which we discussed.
So basically, Fournette should have 10 to 12 carries for about 190 to 200, and then we play the rest of the guys in the second, third, and fourth quarter.
Yeah, I want to get two guys to rush for 175 yards in this game. How cool would that be?
Be awesome.
I was going to go out on a limit and say 200, but I know that's not going to happen because there's too many other running backs to get work in.
Unless he breaks one long one.
Yeah. So let's say, let's be on a safe. So let's just say 100. I think that's a safe bet. I think it might even
say, I'm going to say 120.
120? Two guys over 120?
Two guys over 120 over on.
All right. Well, you picking them to cover. I think you've picked LSU every week. Mistaken. Like I said, wrong. I've been wrong every week, and that's why I'm picking Eastern Michigan. Because I hope I'm wrong, because I want this game to be 63-3. So. And that'll do it, Pat.
Well,
on the bigger and better things.
Well, anybody that wants to do DraftKings, go ahead and take your picks over to FanDuel or DraftKings right there. We just gave you the picks.
Free plug. We just gave free plugs to fantasy football 1 week websites and for the NFL. It has nothing to do with this.
Well, either way, go to Vegas and make your picks.
We just gave them to you. Exactly.
But don't tell them we sent you.
Without question. All right.
Or maybe you want to tell them we sent you because they're gonna love your money.
All right, make your picks. Let's see. Do we have any Thursday games this week? No, everything is Saturday.
Yeah, so you have a Don't you have a Miami game or something?
No, there are no Thursday or Friday games. This is all Saturday slate. And as long as you pick in each game before this actual kickoff, you're good. You don't have to make the whole slate of picks Saturday morning. I don't think I've ever really talked about that too much. You don't have to like make the whole picks before 11 o'clock on Saturday. You pick them as you're going.
Yeah, exactly. As the drunker you get, the more you pick.
Yeah, probably the better off you are.
Probably so.
All righty. Go Show Pick'em Challenge. Look for it on the website, www.andthevalleyshow.com. ATVS Go Show Pick'em Challenge. For what we are, week five. We're in week five this week. So,
wow, one that third of the season gone.
I know. It'll be Thanksgiving before we know it. for Patrick Morris, I'm Kerry Munz for Podcast Behind the Scenes. This has been the Go Show, your original LSU podcast. Join us again next week. We'll be talking about South Carolina, our second road SEC game going up against the East. To Columbia. So we'll be talking at y'all again next week. Again, follow us on Facebook during the week. Follow us on Twitter at our handles. Follow the site. Poser, Billy, Paul, all those other guys whose names I can't remember. All, you know, every day. Got at least two articles every day pretty much about the game. Covering the game all kind of ways. Me and Patrick providing the audio entertainment for y'all. Fran of Valley Shook in the Go Show. And this is us saying goodnight, goodbye. Go Tigers, we're done.